acclaimed former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Chuck Bonino, Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up, when the times absolutely require it.
Yeah, really.
And it's brought to you by...
By AmericanCitizenPress.com, a great conservative website, and Denver Synergenics, and Dr. Julie McCallan. Don't blame her for Chuck's... He's still got bronchitis a little bit, just in time for our Florida vacation.
Just in time.
Exactly. Not Julie's fault, though. Not Julie's fault.
It is Julie's fault.
Don't ever
say it's not Julie's fault. It's always Julie's.
Hey, a lot to talk about today. We've got Laurel Eimer on standby right now. Coming up at 3:30, we have Lori Sane. And I also want to talk about, mark my words, we told you last week when the New York Times started talking about Hunter Biden's laptop that something is coming, something big and something bad, and more evidence of that today. So we'll talk about that.
It's broken out all over the place. Amazingly, 2 years later.
Yeah, no mention of, I guess we were wrong about all that.
But let's now go to one of the great candidates for the CD7, which should be a real contestable seat. They redrew it. Ed Perlmutter, who was the incumbent, decided not to run. So it's a great chance for the Republicans to pick up a seat. And we've got one of the leading candidates, Laurel Eimer, with us. Laurel, great to see you.
Hi, how are you guys? And I'm recovering from bronchitis as well, Chuck.
Really?
Any advice? Real quick, pardon us while we go into a little bit of home medicine there. Besides vodka. No, that would just be my...
Honey and vodka. Honey and whiskey, actually, I prefer.
There you go. Well, this is, let's maybe kind of start off with some of the important stuff first, running as a candidate. Elections cost money. Campaigns cost money. This is a big deadline here the next couple of days. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? And I know we've contributed to your campaign. And if other folks are so inclined, how can they do that too?
Yep. So yeah, we are up against our first quarter fundraising deadline to the end of the day tomorrow. This is a crucial time to donate if you can. As we lead into Assembly Week next week, we'd like a strong showing for this first quarter and that first filing. Laurel Eimer for Congress.com. There's a donate link right there. Or you can go to WinRed and you can search me out on WinRed in the Colorado link, and you'll find my campaign there. And anything that you can give, you know, $5 a month even helps. It's just like budgeting for your home when you run a campaign. If you know consistently that you have a direct deposit coming from someone, no matter what dollar amount that is, you can always know that you can spend that money. And so it's a great way to do it, is to have a recurring monthly donation, even if it's $50, $100, $250. And I know that times are tough, but I would just, you know, send that money anyway, and then send a letter to Joe Biden and ask for a rebate on your gas taxes, and maybe he'll give it back to us.
Well, and I want to point out too, Laurel, that the last deadline for fundraising, you were actually, and I congratulate you on this, taking time away from fundraising for yourself to help raise money for the folks at the Marshall Fire.
Yeah, okay.
So anybody who maybe missed that opportunity, and I mean this is a great opportunity to do that now, because no other candidates did that. I mean, they all spoke about how sad they were and everything, but you actually, you know, did that for them.
Yeah, and they were constantly sending emails and saying, oh, this is how you can help. And here's a follow-up for you. So just this week, I finalized all of that. We ended up taking roughly somewhere between 8 and 10 full-size SUV loads of donated items, in addition to an entire trailer and truckload of water. And then we collected almost $1,000 in a combination of cash and gift certificates that people gave. And so what I did with that cash is I turned it into additional gift certificates so that I was not responsible for cash. None of this went to our campaign at all. And I've been holding on to those gift certificates because I wanted to make sure that they went to the proper person. I didn't want them just random. I wanted them to go to someone who could use the help. And sometimes everybody gets the help in that immediate moment and then they're forgotten about. And so I waited and held those on purpose so that we could help people in a staggered time. And so just this week, I delivered 12 gift certificates worth almost $1,000, combination of King Soopers and Target, to a gentleman who has a network. He lives in the fire zone. He was a fire victim himself. And then he has a group of fire victims, and they are distributing those cards within their group for people who need them.
Great.
But we know that it went to the right and proper place.
Great for you.
Well, your leading opponent, Eric Auckland, was going to go on the petition route, but Secretary of State rejected that. I guess that's part of a lawsuit now. But
correct.
So it's really all the eggs in the basket for the next assembly. I mean, if you can take 70% and have no opponent get to 30.
I want 71.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Actually, my goal is 85%. I want everybody else off the ballot just in case someone else tries to come in. But I think it's interesting that some of these candidates have not been concerned this entire time about election integrity, did not think it mattered, didn't think that anything was fraudulent, didn't think there was issues with the Secretary of State. But I find it interesting that now suddenly when election matters to them, suddenly their opinion changes that, oh, wait a minute, maybe we do have an issue and maybe we should sue the Secretary of State because she's biased.
Yeah.
So I think it's a convenient talking point for them to use this to their advantage when they truly don't even believe in it. And I think it shows the depth of character and where they really truly stand and whether or not they're using it for political gain or to actually help the country move forward.
Well, and I know one of the reasons that we've supported you and we have from the beginning is you have for years now, I mean, you've been a Trump supporter, you worked in the Trump campaign before, and ever since, I mean, you were one of the earliest announced candidates. And you've walked the walk,
yeah.
You know, not when it was convenient, particularly, I mean, the tide is starting to turn, I think, on the whole election integrity issue
right.
as more and more information comes out, just like Hunter Biden's laptop, right?
There you go.
All of us, this is my theory anymore.
And today's the Russia hoax.
Right. Today's conspiracy theory is actually tomorrow's exactly. front page actual news.
Yep.
And I mean, as more comes out, but you did it. Well, you know, way back when it was extremely unpopular and people were totally getting canceled. So,
and Laurel's a big supporter of liberating the Republican primary, and she's been walking the walk for a long time.
Yeah. And so yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. And we, you know, these things are important, and these things are important to these delegates who are going to vote at assembly. They need to know the truth about where their candidate stands and understand that the candidate that they're supporting supports the platform that they are on the ground fighting for as well. These things matter.
Right. Well, tell first, how is it going? And then I'm going to ask you.
Well, you never know.
Well, she can say good.
That sounds great.
You can be an optimist. You're an
optimist. We have them all locked up. We're not.
Yeah, it's over.
Well, I mean, the campaign in general, not the delegate count, because that's kind of gets in the weeds a little bit. But and what are people talking to you about? I mean, are people blaming Putin for inflation when you talk to them?
No, it's not Putin's fault. It's Joe Biden's. It's Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. It's their fault. It's a direct result of their lack of leadership and printing money and just continuing to be irresponsible. But no, I think that's interesting too, because when you're on the ground with the grassroots, you actually learn what's important to your voter base. You can come into this race with all of your own high and mighty ideals and your agenda, but you need to focus on what the constituents of Congressional District 7 are concerned about, because that's all that matters. My opinions, my agenda, none of that matters. It's not about me. It's about the voters on the ground and the people who live in this district and what are their concerns. And so I've been consistently talking to them about their concerns, and their concerns have remained consistent. Their concerns are education, safety and security, election integrity, and the cancel culture of big tech and media. These things are very important. Now inflation is obviously now inflation and gas prices are adding to that mix.
Yeah.
But these are the messages that have been consistent from my campaign from the beginning, and nothing has changed. The other candidates are changing their tone as they continue to go, because maybe they're finally figuring out where the constituents' concerns lie. And if you can't meet them, then you know you're not going to be the success.
How many candidates are there in the primary?
Currently, there is myself and four other declared candidates.
Candidates.
Okay.
Well, one of the things I've also long liked about you is you're a fighter. We need people like you, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, like Lauren Boebert, who, you know, all the mean girl people and the cancel culture people are like, you know, oh, well, you aren't going to get invited to the Washington, D.C. restaurants that everyone else goes to. And you guys truly don't care.
I don't want to be in those restaurants. I want to be on the street with the people.
Exactly. And I mean, there are so many people. I mean, I think there's probably somebody like Mitch McConnell's going, oh, Laurel, that's so quaint that you care about the constituents and not your own agenda. You have it backwards.
Your constituents.
Who cares about their agenda?
Your constituents are the military contractors. That's what your constituents should be.
And it's just great to hear you say that flat out, you know, so.
Well, and what I did talking about starting out with the fire victims from the Marshall Fire, that was proof of that. Yes, that was a crucial end of deadline for me. But again, what about is about the people in my community who needed help. They needed help. And if I can't show them that I'm there to help them now, then what good am I in the future for them?
Well, and again, you were using your platform not to glorify yourself and raise money for you. You raise the platform that you have as somebody who can go out and speak, as somebody who has a website and has some volunteers to go out and help other people. And to me, that just says volumes. And it's not even your district, really.
No,
so
it wasn't my district. It was right on the edge. But it didn't matter. Right. They're still part of my Colorado.
They're human, technically.
They're human.
One thing I want to talk to a little bit in terms of, because I just want folks to understand how important this fundraising and this deadline is. So, and again, you know, we've given, we'll continue to give to you. There's can be sort of a magnifying effect. If you start taking in money, then the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee, other organizations that donate to campaigns take notice of that. And they also take notice of it when you can't raise money. And if you can prove to them that you can raise money, then again, it's more than even a match in kind. Then they'll go ahead and jump in.
And I imagine that CD7 will be on the list.
A battleground.
It's definitely on the list. So the other thing, there's a couple of pieces to that puzzle that you're talking about, Julie. So one is that these other candidates in the race are self-funding their campaigns.
Yes.
By large dollar amounts. So, and the other thing is they got into the race late. So you haven't even seen their numbers yet. So you don't actually know. And I always tell people, if you want to know the truth about a candidate, follow the money. Well, right. You can't follow the money if they haven't filed yet. There's only Eric Odland is filed. And that's only because he had come out of the Senate race.
Senate, right.
Choosing
right.
An easier path to get to Washington. Coming in on the 7th. And so he had an existing filing, but it doesn't have anything to do with 7. It was all Senate. So that's right. Kind of a false report. And then the other candidates haven't had any filing yet. So you don't know anything about their money. So they can say whatever, or they can, but we don't actually know. My money is visible and transparent. And so when you see that, keep it in mind, you might see 100,000, 200,000, 300,000 in theirs versus my 70, but mine is all private donor money. It's not self-funding. It's not just me writing a check to myself and saying I'm going to buy my way to Washington.
Right.
So how many delegates are there to CD7? I'm sure.
Officially there are eligible 650 delegates eligible, but we do not have that many. And that's interesting what ended up happening, because we had that CD7 disaster from the beginning of the year with the redistricting and the restructuring of CD7 leadership. And right, the disaster in Jeffco with voiding our first meeting, then voiding our second meeting and canceling all of our votes and saying that nobody mattered and we had to restructure. So we came in very, very late. And because of that, we lost almost 8 weeks of ground time moving in the CD7 delegate direction. Where we had no organization and nobody knew what was going on. Part of what happened there is that the state party had to step in to help us secure a location in which to hold the CD7 congressional assembly, because we couldn't pull it off fast enough because we didn't have a ground team. We didn't have leadership. And so it ended up going to Colorado Springs, and it disenfranchised a whole bunch of our voters because it's not even in the district.
Yeah.
So we're holding a congressional district assembly outside of our district, and the cost to travel there, the cost for the hotels, you have to be there. If you're going to be there for assembly, for congressional and state, you probably have to stay 2 nights.
Right.
It was very expensive. And we lost over 100 delegates, I think, roughly, that are not participating in CD7 because of the cost and the inconvenience, and chose only to go to state because they felt like their vote was more important and more valued there. And I think that's a disservice. And I'm sorry, but I blame our leadership on that in Jefferson County and the state party for not standing and supporting the Congressional District 7 candidates, specifically me, because I wasn't the only one and that has always been committed to going through assembly.
Right, right.
And so it directly affected me, and it affected my team and our ground game. And
So yeah, I wonder if that's a coincidence.
Well, it makes you wonder when I want to repeal the open primary and I want to hold true to the Republican platform. I can't help but wonder if it's a direct attack. And if it is, so be it, because I'm here to fight. I'm here to win. And they can continue to throw whatever they want at me, but it's not going to stop me.
Right.
I'm going to stand for what I believe.
I know, and Adam's kind of, you know, I was wondering about why that, because I mean, our assembly is Saturday, right? Right up here in Thornton, in the exact same place that the county assembly was. So,
well, this whole idea of Christy Burton Brown that we should reorganize everything because one congressional district is just extraordinary.
No, it was their interpretation of the word
news. It just created wars in every district. Yes. They're always competing factions. It had been decided a year before and everybody was at least settled in. And so she started them all again.
Right.
And often interfering. I know for House districts, she just appointed people she wants. I don't think that it's just disgraceful how the Republican Party is run sometimes.
Well, and again, and Leo is asking, is it still an open primary? Yes, it is. And I think, though, one of the reasons I believe anymore that the established people don't like want the open primary and they don't like the caucus system is, at least I know at our assemblies, it was very much a grassroots-based.
Yes, yes.
Lori Sane got a round of applause. Tina Peters was there and got a round of applause, right? And everybody keeps trying to say, oh, no, we can't. We must have, you know, rhinos running. And we're like, no, we
need a rhino.
We need more rhinos.
Rhinos for all. No.
Rev is a little bit younger than Wes was when he first started getting involved in politics, but Chuck has had to drag Rev to various Republican meetings, and they put Rev, and he knows what this means, they put him on rhino watch. They tell him to sit back and let him know if any rhinos come in. Well, let me give you a really softball, but I want to do this in case people aren't familiar with you. You know, Chance here for the next few minutes, because we've got to let you go about 3:20-ish, but to just tell people about yourself, why you're running, what they're going to get if they vote for you.
So, well, you're going to get honesty and transparency, first of all. I have a clear moral compass and ideology, and I do not differ from that. I am not malleable to the wind or to the moment of the day. So I am a hardcore conservative. I'm going to stand my ground on pro-life 100%. I'm going to stand my ground that there are only two genders. I'm going to stand my ground that...
Who would think you'd have to say that, right?
But anyway. Yeah, right. Now, I don't care what you do in private. I could absolutely care less. As long as you're not breaking a law, I don't care what you do. I don't care how you dress. I don't care what you want to do with your life. That is your business. You're a free America. Continue to do what you want to do. But there's only two genders. And do not indoctrinate my children or anyone else's children through your educational agenda funded by Planned Parenthood to destroy the children of America. So I stand for parental rights, school choice, and no vaccines, no mandates. I will never allow a shutdown again in this country on my watch from Washington, D.C., from the federal level. I will not allow religious discrimination or medical discrimination against someone who's chosen to either have or not have a vaccine. And I want this United States border closed. I am concerned, do not get me wrong, with what's going on in Ukraine. I feel terrible for the Russian people who are innocent victims in this, as well as the Ukrainians. But the United States border is what matters to me and the citizens in this country. And so I will stand for America first, always. This is the direction that we need to go. And this is what the people on the ground want. They want America first. We want to drill oil and gas, mm-hmm. be energy independent in the United States of America. We do not intend to destroy the environment in that process. We have the cleanest green energy process in the world. So why are we buying Russia from Canada and oil from Russia, Canada, Venezuela? I mean, what does somebody think that's a greener process than what we right. can produce here in the United States? No,
right.
That's a lie. So, you know, just in general, and again, election integrity. If we do not have secure and safe elections in this country, we're a banana republic and we have nothing left to stand for. And I will not allow censorship from big tech and canceling people who speak the truth. I intend to work to repeal and amend Section 230. It's one of the first things on my agenda to make sure that we're protecting citizens and their right to free speech.
All right.
That's great. That's great.
Hooray.
Hooray.
Well, let me real quick some of the comments here. Guess if you win, you're not going to Disneyland.
No, I don't watch Disney. I haven't for probably a decade, and I never will again.
One more time, then, where can people go in the, on this donate and volunteer on this very important day?
LaurelEimerForCongress.com or on WinRed, search the Colorado link. And Julie, I just want to mention really quick, you and I were at the Back the Blue rally when we were attacked by Antifa in 2020. I find it interesting that the Antifa protesters just got awarded, what was it, $14 million?
Yeah, I saw that too.
I'm wondering if that is going to help me in my case and my lawsuit.
I know.
Or am I going to be ignored because I was white and, you know, and conservative. I'm just curious about that.
I saw that too. And I'm like, wait a minute, we need to call Randy Corcoran and see what's going on.
What's going on with my lawsuit?
Exactly. because I deserve a piece of that money too, because I was injured
at the hands
of the police department, just like they were. But I might not fit their agenda.
Right. I know. Where is the... Where's the assembly going to be at?
It's at the Doubletree Hotel in Colorado Springs.
I've been there.
It's in the morning. If you are coming and you're a delegate, you must arrive early. You must be there probably by 8 o'clock, 8:30 at the latest to get in and get checked in. If you're not there, they will not allow you in. So you want to make sure you're there on time. We're also asking if you are a delegate and you're pledging to me, please reach out. Let us know that you're pledging your vote to me and your support to me so that we can count on you to be with us and get us on this ballot and move us forward.
Well, that's great. It's great to have you on, and best
of
luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Laurel Eimer, CD7 there. Good for her. Some of the other comments real quick. Dr. Donna saying, Leo, I'm thinking all my old Disney tapes just jumped in value or they're the new thing. Yeah, just like Chris Rock tickets for his Denver show were 25 low and now they're at 400. Real quick before we have Lori saying wanted to do something else. So, you know, we got, Chuck and I got banned from YouTube. We regularly get banned from Twitter for talking about things that are called conspiracy theories, election integrity, you know, COVID vaccines don't protect you from everything and 12-year-olds shouldn't be forced to get COVID vaccines.
It's amazing what you can be suspended for.
Exactly. I mean, everything.
One time we got suspended because we repeated the governor's thing on not having to mask 12-year-olds, which he was at the time. And they said, suspended for giving out disinformation. They were quoting the governor, you morons. Doesn't matter.
But all of a sudden, it all now comes true. You remember the New York Post before the election was banned from Twitter.
Yep.
Huge hullabaloo over their Hunter Biden laptop stories. Well, now everything is starting to come out and something is going on. And I'm telling you, I think an indictment is coming down, something big and something bad. And what we're seeing is the beginning of what I'm calling the spin cycle on it. Because first the New York Times came out talking about it. Then the Washington Post came out saying, okay, yeah, the laptops are real.
Now CNN, it's really flowing down the garbage line.
Exactly. Having called everything a bunch of nonsense, those 50 intelligence officers that, you know, signed the letter
51,
saying
51. Julie.
Okay. But Tom, I want to play you. This is CNN's tune today. Thomas, if we could please play CNN number one.
So there's a lot of issues that the Justice Department has looked into, including, of course, this laptop that on the right wing has featured a lot of stories about Hunter Biden. We know the FBI has possession of it and that they believe it is his laptop, that the contents of it are his.
And the headline there, the investigation picking up steam.
Right.
But CNN goes even farther than that. I mean, they don't. And this is why I'm going to play this soundbite and then tell you what I think the spin is going to be and what they're going to do. But if we could, this is interesting what their conclusion is. If we could please play CNN number two.
It seems pretty clear that Hunter Biden was trading on his father's name to make a lot of money.
No.
I mean, seriously, you're kidding me.
Wow.
It's like, now, you know, this, he doesn't talk about the big guy getting a 10% cut, right?
Right.
He doesn't talk about that.
Yeah.
But that is interesting that CNN is not only saying, okay, the laptop's real, but they're saying it's clear Hunter Biden was trading, was doing business. And that's the Washington Post story, the gist of those two. He was trading on his father's name. Because remember, Joe Biden.
Well, interesting how that's put, trading on your father's name. As opposed to trading influence of your father for money to the son, which is really what it is. I mean, they weren't going, oh, we just have to have a Biden. Any old Biden will do.
Right.
No, his son was going to make sure that they helped whoever was paying him all this money with policies in the U.S. government.
Well, and in Ukraine, remember at the time, Joe Biden was vice president. He's in Ukraine. He's in charge of things in Ukraine and in China and in Russia.
Prosecutors. Fired,
right?
And being brazen about it. I mean, just on camera. I mean, you got to give him credit. Well, you know, to just be corrupt on camera.
Well, Yeah, exactly. Say they don't get the aid. But I think, and Chuck, tell me what you think. I think here's what's going to go on. I think that the Democrats, as a, let me go back to the election. Remember, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren in the primaries were doing pretty well. And then all of a sudden, one day, everybody drops out and they coronate Joe Biden to be the candidate. And we asked Ted Trimpa, we had him on our show, Democrat strategist Ted Trimpa, about that back then. And he said, well, what happened? He said there was like literally sort of a digital equivalent of a backroom meeting with a bunch of guys in a town hall, exactly, cigar smoking backroom meeting where they decided we had to find somebody that we can control who's not going to be Bernie Sanders. And they all came in on Joe Biden. And then they told everybody else, drop out of the race. We're
well, but he says basically the funding sources, funds, you can't do anything. So they had to, you know, if once they got the funders there, the funders go, I'm not funding your campaign anymore. And neither is anybody else. And they kind of go, oh, well,
so the Joe Biden thing was an arranged deal, I think, because they knew we could control him because that's what he does, right? Ukraine can control him. China can control him. Russia can control him. And I think they have now, these same powers have decided that he is such a disaster that they are totally happy to let him get thrown under the bus. I don't think they're going to remove him from office. They're going to leave him in there and they're going to turn around and blame everything on him. And they're going to say, look, he was just so horrible, but now we have our new shining star. This person will right the ship.
Andrew Cuomo.
And I think that what we're seeing with the fake news organizations now coming out against this and spelling it out, I think what a lot of that is the Democrats sending the signal to these fake news organizations that are just their puppets, that they're going to be abandoning Joe Biden. Things are such a mess. He's such a mess. They're not going to try to resurrect it by protecting him anymore. They're going to want him out and they're going to blame it all on Hunter, you know, being a drug addict, and no one's going to really care.
Well, what I think it really is that, you know, and they have enormous sources inside of the Department of Justice and say, now this guy's going to get indicted and you guys are going to be embarrassed because the people go, what do you mean indicted? You didn't even cover the story.
Bronchitis.
And so they're all panicking and now they're all coming out and it'll be even worse than what they're admitting to. But they go, we've been covering this the entire time.
Yeah,
the entire time.
I think there's more behind it, though. Again, I'm more.
No,
anymore.
That's what's behind. That's what's behind the Washington
part
Post
of it,
and the New York Times.
But why couldn't the Biden administration just stop the DOJ investigation?
Because sometimes you get these prosecutors who kind of wait a minute, this is prosecutable.
This is not good.
And then Merrick Garland doesn't want to come in.
But there doesn't seem to be any attempt to save Hunter Biden or to spin it.
Within the prosecution team.
I think it's deeper than that, though.
No,
I think they know that's coming, and I think they just don't care about Joe Biden. I mean, I think this is a sign that they're abandoning Joe Biden.
No, well, they can't abandon Joe Biden
for the future. I mean,
well, he has no future. He's cognitively getting worse every day. I mean, what do you mean future? It's just they've got to deal with it. Their own reputation they have to deal with.
Okay, I mean, that's right. I don't know. Weigh in, you guys. You can call in 888-627-6008 or go ahead if you're on Zoom. You can unmute yourself and chime in, or you can also comment in the chat thing.
Because they don't need more bad news. They don't need more bad news.
These organizations could care less about their reputations anymore. They know that nobody believes them. They don't care about journalism.
They care about their reputations.
No.
Well, they care about the reputation.
But why
not
then?
With you and the right wing who don't believe, but their own people.
I think the why now is that there's an indictment, but I also think that this says a lot more about the Democrat Party going to be willing to throw Joe Biden and his family to the wolves, right, and let somebody else.
Well, they don't have a choice. He's the president. It's not that they get. Hey, can we throw him to the wolves? He has no election. He will never run for elected office again.
He says he's going to.
No, he said he might.
Well, he might.
But you can believe Joe because he told you this laptop.
I think that this is bad. I think that they realize. I mean, what did the FEC today find the Hillary Clinton campaign for not reporting the Steele dossier payments? Right. So I just think.
Did they? I didn't see
yeah,
that.
They did. Yeah. I think there is more to some of this that's going on. I think
there's
are
always more.
Well, I know. I think there are wings or fractions, factions within the Democrat Party who are very happy to use any and all excuses to get rid of these bad guys. Now, I think the good news for us...
They are the bad guys.
The good news for us as Americans is, in the meantime, they're willing to let the DOJ investigate Hunter Biden. Now, are they going to get him? Let's see. Are they going to get him for the child pornography? Are they going to get him for... Are they going to look into Joe Biden taking showers with his daughter when she's at an inappropriate age? Are they going to look into the drugs? Are they going to look into Hunter Biden lying to get a gun permit? Are they going to look into any of that? My guess is no. It's going to be this weird, complicated financial stuff that nobody really understands. And it's going to end up being a FARA violation that nobody understands.
Because everything's a FARA violation.
Right, exactly. All right, we got Charlene there. Hey, Charlene.
I've just tuned in. But yeah, this is interesting and curious that they are going after Biden now, right? CNN kind of threw him under the bus, right? That's what you've been talking about?
Yes,
is that right?
More or less,
okay.
Yes.
Well, I feel like they kind of got all the mileage they can out of Biden. And, you know, they went after Trump, and it's, they always like to have something as leverage to get the president to do what they want to do. When I say they, I'm talking about the WEF and the Schwab and,
World,
you know,
Klaus Schwab, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Klaus Schwab. Yeah. They want to have leverage over the president to get him to do what they want him to do. So what better leverage than to go after his son? And, you know, Biden may not be moving fast enough on Ukraine for him because they really want to take out Russia, because Russia is going on the gold standard. And that is something that WEF allows, the gold standard. So they want to take out Ukraine, and Biden may not be moving fast enough, or they may realize that the public is not going to rally for Biden and go to get boots on the ground in Ukraine and expand that whole arena. So they may think, we got to get a leader in there that the world respects because he's cognitive, you know, cogent.
Right.
And then we've got to get the public in the United States to rally around our leader. So they may be looking for a new leader, but they also may be using the whole Hunter thing as leverage. And that's just my opinion.
What do you think? Will Smith?
Oh yeah. What is it? Real Chuck thinks that was fake.
That is the celebrities need to focus on third world again. If alopecia is all they can worry about, they need to go back to focusing on third world countries and the plight that they're in, because it is not a good look for them to be complaining about all that. But no, I think Hillary's in the wings because she's making lots of noise. And, you know, they did this before.
Yeah.
They appointed Agnew under Nixon. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they got rid of Agnew and they appointed Ford. And then they forced Nixon to resign. And then Ford became president because he had been appointed a vice president by Nixon. So, you know, Biden could appoint anybody right now, and then they could force Kamala out, and then they could force whole Nixon scenario.
I just think, though, I think they're going to wait a little bit because to see what happens with the economy. I think they want to be able, the Democrats being they also want to be able to blame everything on Joe and then turn around and say, but we have this new guy and he's going to do everything right.
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton will come back.
Come back more to the middle. Centrist Democrat.
Kick the can down the road with a new Democrat this time.
All right, Charlene.
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know if we have Lori Sane. I sent her the link. Maybe there could be an operator error there. I don't think.
Do we have Lori?
I don't know. Lori, if you're on there on Zoom, go ahead and unmute yourself. If not, TJ, could you go ahead and maybe give her a phone call? Okay, good. He's good. Let me read some comments here. So Dr. Donna wanted to know if there was a transcript of the interview with Laurel Eimer for Congress. We don't do transcripts, but you can get copies of the podcast at chuckandjulie.com. There are links there to both Rumble and Podbean and BBS. So you can do it there. This from Jim Jackson. This is also true. The left only admires getting away with something.
That's true.
Maybe they consider this a plus.
Yeah.
Karen Cataline, the only part I disagree with you about, Julie, is this. They will feign outrage about is what is happening to our country for purposes of the midterm, but he did everything they want. This is just giving them plausible deniability until the next time, God forbid, when they do even more of the same.
Yeah,
and actually, they probably don't disagree Oh, you, we don't disagree about that. You just didn't get to it. That's true. I was going to say, I kind of do that. And Laurel Eimer, once again, is I has to run. It's Laurel Eimer, and that's I-M-E-R for Congress.
And F spelled out, F-O-R.
Yeah, yes. But we're going to play a little bit more, too. If you don't get Laurie saying, we'll go ahead and do it right now. But the Matt Gaetz interview with the FBI cyber guy was masterful. Was good, I mean, this was just masterful. And I got to say, again, that's what we need, people. I don't want any more congressional representatives who want to be polite and nice and don't want to ask mean questions and who don't care that the rules say we're not supposed to talk about that. I mean, Matt Gaetz played Jerry Nadler yesterday for the fool and did all kinds of, I mean, they're talking about something. He goes, what about the laptop? Where's that? And they're like, we're not talking about the laptop. And he's like, well, where is it? I mean, good for him for doing that. And then he got the hard drive introduced as evidence. And Nadler's like, what? I mean, there are too many Republicans who are part of the swamp, who have the same interests in a lot of ways as the Democrats, I think, who are happy to play nice and be friendly. And they don't want to ask the mean questions because, hey, the FBI, you know. Okay, good. We've got Lori with us on line three. Hey, Lori. Thank you for joining the Chuck and Julie show. I might have messed up your sending you the Zoom link, so I apologize for that.
That's okay. I can hear you.
Okay, great.
But anyway,
great.
So I'm sorry. We'll have you on Zoom next time. I think I maybe had a bad email. But anyway, you're here now.
You're here now. And you've got a big assembly Saturday, and we'll be delegates to it and be voting for you. And
fantastic.
Yeah, Chuck and I are a solid voting block.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. But your opponent, Barbara Kirchmeier, sent out an hilarious email to everyone saying, hooray, I'm not going to do the assembly because Weld County is corrupt or something to the effect. All this stuff is screwed up.
Isn't she from Weld County?
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't have support in that. You know, CD7 is made up mostly of or almost exclusively CD8 of Adams and Weld counties. But, you know, her support comes from Weld County. And she's saying, everything in Weld County is screwed up. I mean, I couldn't even quite follow all the intricacies. But
I think because she didn't get enough votes.
Well, who knows?
But who knows? But anyway, you, though, were there. We were at the county assembly, and you got people cheered you, clapped for you, standing ovation. And so maybe question for you, how are things going heading into Saturday, where people will be voting on which candidates to put on the primary ballot?
Well, I think, Julie, the delegates are responding to a message of what, at least what the Republican Party should be standing for. I'll put it that way. You know, those things in our party platform, you know, planks like, limiting government, fiscal responsibility, personal responsibility, encouraging free markets, equal treatment under law, protected private property rights, right? All those things that we say we believe in, I'm the candidate that has an A+ on those Principles of Liberty scorecard. And honestly, those principles transcend party as well. They transcend the Republican Party into the independents and the Democrats. But that's what people are responding for. And when we ask the question, I shouldn't say somebody asked the question from stage, how many of you are new to the caucus process? Almost every single person in that room raised their hand. That is tremendous because I know that there are certain folks who, when they can't, they feel like they can't win their neighbor's support to put them on the ballot. They tend to trash the caucus process and call them, you know, party insiders. I don't know if you've ever heard that, Chuck or Julie.
Chuck, you know, Chuck is the ultimate party insider.
I was on the executive committee, so I guess I was a party insider, But it is amazing the difference between leadership, or most of leadership, and the people who come and support Republicans, because it couldn't be far different. And you gave a list of some of the great things that are in the party platform, but KBB, the president, said no, we'll run on these poll tested.
Transparency,
affordability, which can mean anything to anybody. And she said, we'll have everybody running on these nothingness, and then they'll love us. They'll love us because we love nothingness. All those idiots out there.
Well, let me ask you the same. We had Laurel Eimer on just a little bit ago, because I know you've been working hard and traveling, and I get your emails and your position papers and things like that. What are the things, like I asked Laurel, I mean, are people blaming Putin for inflation? I mean, what are some of the things people are talking to you about, what they care about?
Well, you just nailed it. One of those is the inflation issue. I mean, I think we're up to 7.9%. It's just outrageous. And, you know, something that I think our state party can take some heed from is, you know, our contract with America, I mean, at least they hit those issues where they really nailed it on tying benefits to work. And I think we had the budget balance for the first time in our lifetimes and may never see ever again. But if you think about what inflation is, I mean, money is a commodity just like any other commodity, except for money is used in exchange for every other commodity. So that means if you overpump the money supply relative to goods and services, we get this special thing called inflation, right? Which really hurts the poor, the middle class, anybody who's a saver, seniors on fixed incomes. It's just going to be a tragedy. And we are not tying any of the benefits of, basically this government is the party of government reliance. So they are paying people to stay home, and they're not tying that to producing goods and services. So we're coming into a huge train wreck here. It's just going to get worse and worse. I don't want to see it get worse and worse, but that is driving people towards the Republican Party, including, I don't know if you saw this, Chuck and Julie, but I think it may have been 9 News here in Colorado who basically called Hispanics racist because they are gravitating towards those principles of liberty I just listed out. The things that made the principles that this country was built on, you know, on hard work and the pursuit of happiness and not the pursuit of government paying you to stay home.
I'll have to say, you know, we have
all those racist Hispanics out there. What can you do about it?
We have Democratic friends and have Democrats on the program from Ted to lots of other people and stuff. And there's nothing in their life that upsets them more then Hispanics aren't doing exactly what they told them. They kind of go, what do you mean the Hispanics are up for grabs? What are you talking about? That can't be right.
That must be the racist. Well, you know, and I think, you know, actually, I have to say, Laura, you just gave the most coherent, understandable explanation of inflation that I have ever heard. And that is money is a commodity when you flood the market with money. So I take it you'd be opposed to, but what does Biden want to do rather than opening up, you know, and getting back to energy independence for our country? He wants to go ahead and in these horrible inflation times, and he promises he's not going to raise taxes. He wants to give me $400 and gas subsidies somehow or something. I mean, I was reading that. It's like, well, why don't you just lower gas prices? Yeah. You know, I mean,
well, you can't do that.
But do take action and to do steps that would result in lower gas prices rather than keep the gas prices high and then just use tax dollars to give us money so we can pay for gas.
There you go.
Yeah, how about we just reduce taxes, first of all?
Put the money
back into the pockets of the American people. They're always going to know how to spend it better than government anyway. But, you know, back to the printing of money, again, tied to goods and services. So we're shutting things down like the Keystone Pipeline, and we're shutting down or discouraging domestic oil production or the whole concept of work. The economy is going to crash. I mean, the velocity of money theory only gets you so far.
Right.
Well, if the world gets off the dollar as a basic currency, we're screwed.
Yeah.
And Biden's doing a good job of getting other countries from Russia to China to India to get off the dollar standard. And that will be, then you can no longer just print money because people, you're not the reserve currency anymore. So they're doing a great job of heading for what could be a really awful one. Now, your opponent, Bob Kirkmeier, she was saying the other day how she's a big Trump supporter. And I was going, wait a minute. When we had you on the program, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, she didn't like Trump at all. And she's described herself as a Reagan Republican. But kind of like, wow, that was a new shift.
Suddenly, people like Trump all of a sudden went into the election year, right? But, you know, she's also made statements, I believe, that she's the only candidate who supports, actually is one of the first ones out of the gate to endorse Trump. That's in, I think, the Denver Post, one of the few lawmakers to stand up nearly right away. And I did walk for him in 2016 as well. But yeah, I think Trump is very popular. When you say Trump's name in a room of Republicans, usually applause breaks out. So obviously, the American people believe in the Trumpian policies, and I've said it before, Julie and Chuck, I'd rather have mean tweets and cheap gas.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let me ask you this, and we talked to Laura about this too. I mean, this is an important day, the next couple of days for candidates and campaigns, because it's a fundraising, the end of another fundraising cycle. And the primary is a big thing there too. But talk to me a little bit about how things are going. And we've still got a few more minutes, but I want to make sure we give you a chance to let people know how they can help.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And every campaign needs money to get the message out. And that's just basic marketing, right? If somebody else down the street tells you they do X and the other person's silent, they're going to gravitate towards the person who says X because they have the money to get the message out. So when people ask, gosh, why are you guys asking for money all the time? Well, congressional campaigns take a lot of money to get that messaging out. And it takes a fairly large team to work that process, especially with this many people. So it can't be a one-man band, and that's why we ask for donations, which you can find a donate button on my website at loriforfreedom.com. That's LORIFORfreedom.com.
Okay.
That's good.
What about, and back to, it's CDA, this is kind of uncharted territory, at least it's a new district. Talk to me a little bit about the makeup of the district and how you don't hear anything about the Democrat candidates. Now, maybe that's because I'm not paying attention, but I think this is very much a winnable district for a Republican, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And part of that calculus has to take in account, if we boil it down to something very, very simple, and obviously it's not just this, but more of our base has to get out than their base.
Right.
And if you have a person who says, I believe that the elections are the gold standard and you should all get vaccinated and things that are, just not the role of government, as far as, healthcare choices and things like that. And somebody who has a poor voting record on those same principles, you may not get the base to turn out. So that's just my note of caution there is that, people are looking for somebody who is going to bust the status quo, who's going to move the needle away from socialism and back towards freedom. You're not going to do that with somebody who's hugging the status quo and wants things to be as they are now, which, obviously isn't working for us. And those principles that, built, our country that, some of those that I've talked about earlier, it's like building your house on the sand, right? You can hear it, but you don't do it and you don't walk the walk. The first storm you got is going to blow you away. And that's the Republican Party that we're experiencing right now. Every time there's a major storm, our party blows away, right?
Yeah.
And so we bounce from cycle to cycle instead of taking the long-term approach and saying, our principles matter to people. And if we do those for long term and actually walk the walk, we will win. The elections will take care of themselves.
Right. Well, and that's one of the reasons, too, that I support you. And that is some of the other candidates, they say these things and maybe they mean them, maybe they don't. But you have proven that you mean them. You have proven you'll stand up to the fake news bullies who try to, shame you and cancel you. And you don't back down. You don't change your opinion because, a bunch of bots and, whatever, the sock puppets start saying mean things about you on Twitter. You've walked through the fire and you've held strong. And I think that is a lot of what we need in this day.
Well, I don't think people are looking. Peter says our good friend Peter Boyle is retiring Friday. Elections are won in the middle, and I couldn't disagree more. Elections are won by when people think, hey, this person can help me and my country. It can help all of us. They're mushy. They're wonderfully mushy. That's great. And I think for CDA, which will be. You have the advantage of it's not that easy to ballot harvest in CD8.
No.
And a lot easier in Denver and other places, but not CD8. So I think we'll have a much better chance. It's slightly more Republicans than Democrats. So we have a strong candidate like Lori. I think we got a great chance and we could have some great candidates from Colorado in Washington and not just the usual Doug Lamborn, got elected one day. It's the last thing he's ever done.
Right. Or people you forget, are they still even in office? Yeah. Lori, let me just read. This is from one of our listeners. We have the little chat section on Zoom from Charlene says, LOL, everybody loves Trump when they're behind. Yay, Lori, excellent. So there you go on that. Well, let me one more time then give you sort of a last word here. Anything you want to say? And if you want to let folks know again where they can find out more about you or help you out in this, or if delegates, anything anything like that. Give you the final kind of
open mic.
Open mic.
Okay. Well, again, just any support, volunteer hours, knocking doors, phone calls, you can sign up on that same website I gave earlier, which is voiceforfreedom.com. And we do have an assembly this Saturday. This is how conservatives get on the ballot. And this is how I've gotten on the ballot every 2 years, is through the caucus process by asking my neighbors to put me on the ballot, which is very important. And then also, if I get enough of those votes, and I also get top line on the ballot, which makes me the Republican nominee and designee. So that's also important. It means that anytime you see a name at the top of the ballot, it means that that is the grassroots choice.
Yes,
so
yes,
that's what we're going for on Saturday. I think our message resonates because I have, again, actions to back up, what I say. I don't just talk conservative during a primary. I actually follow through and I do it.
Yeah, okay, that's true. Your record proves it. All right, Laura, thanks so much. And best of luck Saturday. We'll be there.
All right. Thank you so much, Chuck and Julie.
Okay, you're right. Lori Sane there. And we've only got, we got a few minutes left. So Lori Sane, Laurel Eimer, yay. Back to the Hunter Biden laptop thing. So we had to intersperse it here. This is like I was saying, we need people like Lori and Laurel there because they'll do the kind of thing that Matt Gaetz is doing. They're not going to be wishy-washy. This is Matt Gaetz in a congressional hearing with the assistant director of the FBI cybersecurity unit. So the assistant director, the cybersecurity thing, right? And Gaetz tears into him about the Hunter Biden laptop. So Thomas, if we could please play the Representative Gaetz soundbite.
So where is it? The laptop.
Sir, I'm not here to talk about the laptop. I'm here to talk about the FBI cyber program.
You are the assistant director of FBI cyber. I want to know where Hunter Biden's laptop is. Where is it?
Sir, I don't know that answer.
That is astonishing to me. Has FBI cyber assessed whether or not Hunter Biden's laptop could be a point of vulnerability allowing America's enemies to hurt our country?
Sir, the FBI cyber program is based off of what's codified in Title 18, Title 18, Section 1030, a code which talks about computer intrusions, right? Using nefarious intent.
Talked about passwords here. I mean, Hunter Biden's password on his laptop was Hunter02. He drops it off at a repair store. I'm holding the receipt from Max Computer Repair, where in December 2019, they turned over this laptop to the FBI. And what now you're telling me right here is that as the assistant director of FBI cyber, you don't know where this is after it was turned over to you 3 years ago.
Yes, sir, that's an accurate statement.
How are Americans supposed to trust that you can protect us from the next colonial pipeline if it seems that you can't locate a laptop that was given to you 3 years ago from the first family, potentially creating vulnerabilities for our country?
Sir, it's not in the purview of my investigative responsibilities.
But that is shocking that you wouldn't, as the assistant director of cyber, know whether or not there are international business deals, kickbacks, shakedowns that are on this laptop that would make the first family suspect to some sort of compromise. Mr. Assistant Director, have you assessed whether or not the first family is compromised as a result of the Hunter Biden laptop?
Sir, as a representative of the FBI cyber program, it is not in the realm of my responsibilities to deal with the questions that you're asking me.
Has anyone at FBI cyber been asked to make assessments whether or not the laptop creates a point of vulnerability?
Sir, we have multiple lines of investigative responsibility in the FBI. They're all available in public source.
Well, I would think you'd know this one. I mean, I would think that if the president's son, who does international business deals, referencing the now president with the Chinese, with Ukrainians, I mean, have you assessed whether or not the Hunter Biden laptop gives Russia the ability to harm our country?
Sir, again, we can do this back and forth for the next couple of minutes. I don't have any information about the Hunter Biden laptop or the investigation.
But should you? I mean, you're the assistant director of FBI cyber.
By the block and line chart, no, sir, I should not.
Who should we put in that chair to ask questions about this laptop that FBI has had for 3 years?
Sir, I'm not in a position to make a recommendation of who should say.
So you don't have it. You don't know who has it. You don't know where it is. You're the assistant director. You know, earlier you talked about whether or not you were the Grant Hill or the Christian Leitner. It sounds like you're the Chris Webber trying to call a timeout when you don't have one.
So, and I know that's a little long, but I just wanted you guys to hear that because I just think that's great. That's what we need, right? He's like, call the FBI. I
was that
just
was
like,
a little unfair.
Well, but it's sort of like you think he should have a clue and you'd think he'd have looked at it. So good for him. And then just to top it off, because we got to wrap it up now, to top it off, he said, oh, because Jerry Nadler's sleeping. He goes, oh, here I have a whole hard drive contents of Hunter Biden's laptop and I'd like to enter them in the congressional record. And so we did. So there it is.
All right. We got that in.
It's time for us to go. Thank you to Laurel, to Lori, everybody on Zoom. We love you. All the great comments there, the folks at BBS.
And we'll see you on Party Friday.
There you go.
Take care.